We're going to start right at Romans chapter 8. If you have a Bible, get it. If you have a phone, pull it out or look up on the screen. It's going to be there in a second. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through this Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and of death. We've been talking for quite a while now about the law, and Adam and Craig have spoke quite a bit about the differences between the law of the life of the world and the law of the Spirit. And so Paul is trying to show this church in Rome, who is having issues with that, what the real bottom of the whole thing is, what the core root of the gospel is all about, and that's what we want to take a look at today. We want to talk about just what is right and what is wrong. Now, if you were a cannibal down in the jungles of Amazon in South America, and you grew up as a little kid as a cannibal, you would have no issues with eating the neighbors. And if the missionaries came to town, the only thing you might get in trouble for is if the kids were playing with their food. They would have no concept that that was a wrong thing to do. And it was the same thing with the Israelites and all of the people of the world before the law. They had no concept of right and wrong. And so the law came to point out to them what is right and what is wrong. It wasn't there to save them because it couldn't. We can't keep the law. That was the whole point. The law made a point and pointed out that there is no way we can do it on our own. And so it came. Now we're going to take a look at a couple of words today. And words are important. Especially in our language today, words are everything. Words are important. The first word we're going to take a look at is the word therefore. And that's what chapter 8 starts with. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Now that is cause for celebration, isn't it? Darn right. No condemnation. That means it doesn't matter what I do, I'm not condemned anymore, right? Maybe not. We're going to take a look at that today. The other word is the word if. Therefore and if. And having a good comprehension of what those two words mean in Scripture is very, very important. So, therefore kind of means everything that went before. And in this particular case, in Romans chapter 8, all of verse 7 is talking about the law and how Jesus came with under the law. But then he brought a different kind of law, the law of grace and the law of the Spirit. But then the word if shows up later on in chapter 8. And so therefore, because of all that stuff that happened, we are not condemned if. Now here's an example of that. I had a rather good week at the store this week. Sold a lot of stuff, made a lot of money. And I'm feeling kind of generous. Therefore, if someone were to come down front and say, I would like to have what you have to offer, then I would give them that $10 bill. If they were to come down front and say, I would like to have what you have to offer, I would give them that $10 bill. Okay, fine. What?
I would like what you have to offer.
Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If. That is such a big word. If. Now, We're going to take a look at what that means. See, there's an if right in the beginning of that, and it's not used right there, but the second half of that first verse says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means he had to get out of his chair. He raised his hand. That wasn't good enough. That didn't get the job done. And I was very shocked that this little kid right down here wasn't down here within a half a second. I am very surprised and disappointed in you. If you are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time on all the other ins and out of the law and the philosophical benefits of this or that or the other thing. I want you to see this morning what it really means to be in Jesus. There are those this morning sitting in this room who have not made that claim and carried out that if. And this message is for you. And I would pray this morning that before this day is over, you will give your heart and your life and soul over to Jesus. Because that is the only way you can have no condemnation. So we're going to go through and play scripture search. What does it mean to be in Christ? Let's start out in Ephesians chapter 4. We get it all up on the board up there. Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to, you know, when we were in high school back in days, and I don't know if Sherry does that with the youth group now, we used to do Bible drills. And they would spit out a verse, and whoever got there first won. And they would read the verse, and then they would throw out another verse, and whoever got to that one first. And it was a way of teaching you how to look up stuff in the Bible and find it, and a way to study. So we're going to do that a little bit this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. We're talking about what does it mean to be in Christ. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is not any other way. That pretty well says there's only one. That means we don't get to pick and define what salvation is. Scripture defines and gets to pick what salvation is. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. What does it mean to be in Christ? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God the Father. We do not get to pick. We live in a culture today that one of the main words that we cry out all the time is the word tolerance. And we used to have that word in our English language as if you were to be tolerant, that means, you know, some rotten rat over here or some kid that's a brat, we would kind of tolerate them or put up with them, but we wouldn't necessarily like it, but we would tolerate it. And we would have some tolerance, and the word that went with that would maybe be patience. But it doesn't mean that anymore in our culture. For me to be tolerant, by the way of how we use it in America today, when I have an opinion, it's okay. And if you have an opinion, that's okay. And no matter what your opinion is, it's equal to my opinion. And if I have a belief and you have a belief and they're opposite of each other, well, that's okay too, because what's good for me is just, that's for me. And then whatever you believe, that's okay, because that's what's right for you. That's our culture today. Relativism. Whatever goes, goes. And it's just all relative, and it depends on the situation, and it depends on things that are happening around us. And right and wrong are nebulous and can mean different things at different times. So this little pygmy that's in Amazon back there eating his neighbors, once in a while it'd be okay, but you know, if he's really starving and really hungry, but otherwise he probably shouldn't do that. And that's not what this is saying here. It says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means we don't get to pick. What does it mean to be in Jesus? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And when Luke wrote this to the church in Acts, as they were first growing up, he was very specific in setting the foundational principles of what it means to be in Christ and what it means to be part of the church. And he says here in verse chapter 4, verse 12 of Acts, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby you must be saved. That kind of cuts to the chase, doesn't it? Tolerance is out the window. There is no way that we have any other way. And to be in Christ then means some very specific things, specific beliefs, and specific behaviors. We don't get to pick. Scripture shows us, and then we pick whether to go this way or that way. Craig talked a few weeks ago with the big word dichotomy. And, you know, it's a nice big intellectual word and it's hard to spell and all that. But it basically means I'm on this side or I'm on this side. There isn't any other side. If is the word that defines that. I'm on this side or I'm on this side. And what we see in the scripture here is that we have to pick which side. We don't get to pick the parameters of what happens on each side. Turn with me to 1 John. Way back in the back of the Bible. This one's not from Paul. This is from John the Apostle. And John the Apostle was the apostle of love. And he talked more about love than all the other ones. And this is about, what does it mean to be in Christ? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God. It's to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And there's other places where it talks about, by grace are we saved through faith. And even that's not of ourselves, it's something that God gives us. So this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Drop down to verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And the very next verse says, these things have I written to you that you may believe that you have eternal life. See, we can know what's going to happen. We can know where we're going. We can have an assurance that we have salvation, but it is predicated on the two words, therefore, and the word if. Okay? Jump back over to Romans with me. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 6 for a second. So it really comes down to who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge? Break out your phone or your day timer and wherever it is you keep your schedule and see where your time is spent during the week. Where's your allegiance lie? Break out your checkbook. See where your money goes. See where your allegiance lies. Because you see, it doesn't really matter what we say beyond a certain point. It matters what we do, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our allegiance. Between this world and the next world is what decides if we're on this side if, or on this side of therefore. Don't you know, chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slave to the one you obey? Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, and here Paul is writing to these Roman Christians who have made that leap over the word if. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. You are going to be a slave. You were born a slave. How do you like that? And we can either be a slave of the world or we can be a slave of righteousness. We get to pick that part. So how do we pull that off? If we are born that way and we are in this world and we have to make our choices and we choose, okay, well, I don't want to go over here because, you know, the sin and hell and fire and brimstone and all this eternal pain, and I don't want to live with that. I think I'll take this one. So how do we change? How do we do that? By coming to grips with who and what Jesus really is, what he really was, and who it is for an eternity. Look at the beginning of chapter 6 right here in Romans. How do we change? Here's how we change. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? You see, it's God's grace that allows us the opportunity to change. It's by no means. And you remember Adam talking about this one because he must have said that by no means about 82 times. By no means. In other words, good grief, no. You don't keep sinning so that you get more grace. By no means. We are those who died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Don't you know that those who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are therefore. What kind of word is therefore? A connecting word. Remember that. You see that throughout Scripture, and it's one of the most important words there are because it links this to this. Don't you know, therefore, we who are buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Therefore. For if. Here's the second word. What kind of word is if? Therefore is a connecting word. If is a conditional word. Okay? Conditional word. If this, then that. Therefore, because of this, this happens. If is the second part of that. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this, his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be a slave to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Jesus was hung on a cross and he died. And he was buried in a tomb, just as dead can be, and just as buried can be. But yet he rose on the third day, we know that. And our belief in that is the foundational principle of the therefore and the if. Baptism, then, as we go through this process of the Holy Spirit works on us, and there are those of you out there today that the Holy Spirit is working on, even right now. And as we yield to that, and we, through our mind and our heart, see who Jesus really is, then the Holy Spirit, and we carry through with, you know, like our two steps closer that we talk about here at church all the time. This is why we talk about two steps closer. As we move further and further closer to God and to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit goes from working on us to working in us. And that Spirit working in us changes our heart and changes our mind. And in the process of all of that, you know, we hear the word, we believe the word, we confess the word, we repent of the way we've been. And baptism is one of the steps in all of that process, because God is a God of pictures. You think about all the different things in the Old Testament that God did. It was all through pictures. You know, what happened after the flood? There was a rainbow. What was the picture of the rainbow? That God would never do that again. God is a God of pictures. And when our speech, our communication that we have, is all about creating pictures. We are made in the image of God. And God works and thinks through pictures. So do we. When we say there's a pink elephant on the wall, it's not the words that make the difference. It's the visualization of the picture that we see on the wall. We think in pictures. And that's what baptism is about. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then we go through that also. We are dunked. You know, if you have a dead body, you don't go out and sprinkle some dirt on it. It'll stink pretty quick. Or you don't just pour some dirt on it. You bury him. And that's what happens in baptism. It's a burial, a death to the old self, because the Spirit was working in us. And as we go through that process, then we're raised in a newness of life, just like it says here. In verse 5, for if you've been united with him in death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so that's a picture. And from there, the Holy Spirit was working on us, then it works in us, and now it begins to work through us. You see how that is? That's what it means to be in Christ. Go back over to Romans chapter 8. As we've been talking through the law, and that the law was not sufficient, and that Jesus came not to complete the law, or not to live out the law, but to complete the law and to fulfill it, because nobody else could. Therefore, chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law is powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Part of what was built into the old law was that if you break the law, you are condemned. You have to be punished, and there's no way you can get out of it. If you broke the law, you had to be punished. Well, guess what? Everybody broke the law. And so there was none righteous, no, not one. And God required of mankind that there be a sacrifice or a way of purging that condemnation of the law. And nothing could do that. In the Old Testament, they had the sacrifices. And there wasn't just one. There was sacrifices on a daily basis and different holidays and all kinds of different ways they sacrificed, big ones and little ones. And all those sacrifices didn't do away with any kind of sin. All it did was roll it forward another year and roll it forward another year. And it just staved off the condemnation that God has for his people because they were breaking the law. And so the sacrifice would roll it again for another year, and they would do it again and for another year. And all of these sins were stacking up until Jesus came along, completely fulfilled the law and lived that out perfectly, and then became the sacrifice to fulfill the law once for all. And to be in Jesus means to accept that and see it for what it is. Chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are living according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, there's an interesting word right there that we can use that makes a lot of sense to me when I first heard it this way. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit or those who are infused or saturated, you know, completely infused with the Spirit, have their mind on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. So we are either, you know, the whole if thing, we're either infused by the world and filled with all of the stuff of the world, or we are infused with the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God. There isn't anything in between. Okay? Verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh or who are infused with the world cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but are in the spirit of the or in the realm of the Spirit. What's the next word? What kind of word is if? A conditional word. You are not in the, but you are in the realm of the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? But if Christ is in you, verse 10, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. If. Conditional. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you have to make a choice to do that. You have to make a choice to become that. And I'm going to steal a little bit. I was supposed to go through verse 11 today. Too bad. I like verse 12. Therefore, what kind of a word is that? Connecting word. So because Jesus did all this stuff, because we are not under condemnation anymore, therefore, brothers and sisters, he's writing to Christians, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according, or if you are infused by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, or if you are infused with the Spirit, you will live. Choose this day, which side are you going to be on? You see, we get to pick. And it's not very often that we do altar call here. But today is one of those days. There's going to be a couple guys come down front. People, women, men, something like that. I beg of you, if you do not know Jesus this morning, today is the day. Come down as the music plays. Give your life over to Jesus and talk to these two about what that means. It's a simple thing. You take the first step and after that, God takes over. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.